Hey,
to
hello.
People Seek Meeple, the board game problem solvers.
Hooray.
Did you notice the professional level of our new intro?
It's almost as professional as every single other one of our intros, I think.
You know, I just about forgot how to do this. It's been so long.
It has been a very long time. And I know to all of our thousands of listeners that have been sending us furious emails saying, when is the next People Seek Meeple? And I've just been, you know, so busy. We've been doing so many things. And also we're, you know, not great at keeping up to date with this kind of stuff.
Well, it's the sort of thing that's really easy to sideline when you're doing everything else.
About a million other things, yeah.
So we've been traveling, as you know. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little bit less board game centric lately. Which is why we haven't been able to record record a podcast.
Yes.
Record a codcast.
So where have we been? What have we been doing?
Oh, we've been a lot of places. We haven't talked to you since Wales.
Wales, which was months ago, I think.
That was October.
Oh geez.
So,
yeah. Sorry guys. Whoops.
Well, shortly after Wales, we went to Bristol.
Yes.
Where we have a friend who was part of our D&D campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another friend who was also a part of that same campaign was just there at the same time. We barely planned it at all.
Exactly. We got to finish our like year-long D&D campaign that started in Vancouver in Canada and ended in Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that was really cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike and Derek.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was great. Derek managed to defeat the very final boss, the biggest, scariest boss that I've ever come up with in my life by throwing a dagger at it.
Which is a beautiful callback to our very first fight.
Yes.
Where Derek threw a whole bunch of things unsuccessfully.
He threw his quarterstaff into a bush, and then a goblin ran off with it. It was a good time. So, yeah, that all grown, that all come a long way. It was great. We also slept in a houseboat, which was super exciting.
Yeah.
It was like one of those little canal boats. So thanks to Mike and Lucy for that. That was great.
That was really cool.
Moving on.
And then we went to Essenspiel.
Essenspiel.
Yeah.
Why does that sound familiar? I don't know what that
big
is.
Big ol' game convention.
Wait, what?
I'm really concerned for your memory.
that
was just a month ago.
What kind of games?
Oh boy. Board games.
Oh,
of all shapes and sizes. Some
great.
Good, some less good, some really amazing.
I think I remember them now.
We went there and helped out at a booth for Hush Hush Productions, Fog of Love.
Yes, and it was so much fun.
It was a really good time. Our booth was right next to Tim Fowler's booth. Just saying.
We got him to sign a copy of Bogle Bros.
Yeah. Because
we are such dorks.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Tim Fowles is lovely, and it was great. It was very exciting. We're probably the last ever podcast to record anything to do with Essen, because it's been a long time.
So we're probably not going to dwell on this too much.
Although we do have a few things to talk about. I believe we wanted to do a quick like pew 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 thing on the games that we played and how we felt about them. Should we do that now?
Ooh, okay. Let's do it. Monolith Arena.
I love Niroshima Hex, as we know from maybe the first episode, and I was excited to play this. I don't think it has enough changes to warrant buying a whole other game when I could just buy more expansions for a game that I already love, and I kind of prefer the post-apocalyptic vibe, although the graphic design has probably improved. I'm just more used to the Niroshima Hex side of things. Okay, next one.
Orbis
was okay.
It was okay.
Orbis was okay.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of Splendor, but I think it was because it was the rocket thing, spaceship company. Space Cowboys. Okay. That's what they're called. Yeah. Because they produced it. It was fun. It had a lot of interesting choices, but I don't think I would get a lot of playthroughs out of it. How to Rob a Bank
was a super simple version of Burgle Bros, I think, kind of.
Yeah, with a bit of programming.
Some programming. Yeah, it was fine. It was good. I want there to be a little bit more.
It was a bare bones type of thing, programming game. However, it was quite cheap, and it is made for the younger crowd. So I think that if you do have younger ones, that it would be a perfect game.
Gateway.
Yeah.
Gateway game. Concordia Venus.
I love Concordia, and Venus was very exciting to play. I quite liked the team play aspect. It didn't feel tacked on at all.
No, and it sped the game up a bit, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, and it also gives you a little bit more to think about when you take an action. Your teammate, your best friend and buddy and pal also will take that same action after you. So you have to think about what you need, you have to think about what they need, and you have to think about what your opponents are going for as well. I thought it was pretty exciting. Sabotage.
It was great. Can't wait for it to be released. Please hurry. That's another Tim Fowers. I'm very excited for it.
Yes, that's.
I don't know if you know this, but we're Tim Fowers fans.
Yeah, that was a
People Seek Meeple.
That was a shut up and take my money type moment.
Yeah.
I think. If you didn't know, it was a playtest for the most recent Tim Fowers game. Yeah, it was great. It was good fun.
Titan
was a big, scary game that we playtested as well. It was definitely a prototype, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think we had the game had a lot of rules, and the people describing it weren't the best at laying out how the game was played, so we were confused for maybe 3/4 of an hour.
There was just a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
It was one of those ones where it was like, here's a rule, and then 5 minutes later I needed to know that it was a rule again.
Yeah, I definitely didn't envy the people that had to teach that game.
Yeah.
Azul. Stained Glass of Syndra.
It was beautiful and I liked it a lot. Pictomania.
I had so much fun with Pictomania. I think Pictomania had the most laughs for me. I had so much fun. It was a good time. Everyone should play it, even if you can't draw. If you can't draw, it's perfect. It's great. It's fun.
Maybe play it before you buy it just to make sure it's your thing.
No. No, just
Valda.
Valda, we playtested, they were next to Fog of Love, and it was an area control card playing card combat type thing that I don't think I can give a very fair review of because we didn't get enough of a chance to try it out.
Yeah, interesting, and I'd play the full version when it's out.
Mm-hmm.
Shadows mm-hmm. Amsterdam.
This one's been getting a little bit of buzz. What was it? It's like a
Dixit.
Yeah, Dixit with a bit of Mysterium thrown in with like code names as well. I guess Dixit and Mysterium are kind of the same thing. I liked it, and I liked the speed, I liked the panic, I liked all that stuff. What I didn't like was the board. The quote unquote modular board was done entirely in big chunks, where two pieces of art are always going to be next to each other, when they could have just as easily made dozens and dozens and dozens of individual tiles and made a map out of that. And I thought that was quite disappointing, and that is why I will not want to buy that game.
Which, you know, maybe it was just for ease of setup, but everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
Fog of...
Oh.
Best game ever. Can't say a bad word about it. So good. No, seriously, though. I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's clever. It does a very good job of merging gameplay, you know, playing to win, and also playing as a character. Playing as a character is also going to, you know, advance you in a way that works out well, and it's fun
yeah.
and beautiful.
I don't know of anything else quite like it.
No.
It's quite unique. Nimble.
Nimble was a game I was excited to try and wasn't that great.
Potion explosion.
No, this is your one. You wanted to play
I've been wanting
this.
To play it for so long because potions are cool. it was good. I think perhaps I liked it more than Will did, and I think it would be better with more people. Our classic refrain: please play with us.
I actually enjoy Potion Explosion. I like how it played like a mobile game. It was like a Bejeweled, like Candy Crush type thing vibe that I got from it, which I quite
interesting.
Liked.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Pantone. It's like Pictionary with pixels. You use swatches, and we were not the target audience for that game.
No, it was a lot of pop culture that I sure didn't know.
Four Elements.
Was that the flicky one?
It was the flicky one.
Apparently, I am too good at it, I think, was my takeaway.
Charlene gets angry. Well, not angry, just...
I flick real hard. I grew up playing Crokino. That's just how it goes. They said, flick all the stuff off the table, so I did that. And then they were like, whoa, not that much stuff. And I don't know what you want from me.
It was too much. What's next?
Keyforge.
I really like Keyforge. I played it once with a stranger while Charlene ran off to go and do a thing. And it was a lot of fun. I think it's very hectic. And we bought a couple of decks since then, which I've been enjoying. And Charlene hasn't been enjoying too much because I play a lot of have played a lot of card games like Magic and stuff back in the day, and I win a lot. But maybe with more decks it will be good.
Yeah, I think throw a third deck in and we can get some new matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Skylands! It was good. I would play it again and enjoyed it.
Great.
Trap Words.
Trap Words is a game that we've only played once since purchasing it. We saw that it was being played, we had the game explained to us, and we bought it immediately. It seemed like a lot of fun, although the first time we played it, it was a bit tricky because it seems like you're not allowed to use... the rules of what you're allowed and not allowed to say are very muddy, I think.
Kind of. I mean, it was clear to me, but it was fuzzy to other people.
Yeah.
I think... proper nouns sort of seem to be kind of out, like in pop culture references. For example, there was one time when they wanted someone to guess board game and they said Monopoly.
Right.
Sort of thing. It if you're, it kind of feels like cheating if you get, like, if someone needs you to say movie star and you're like Tom Cruise.
But outside of that, it was pretty exciting. Nefarious.
I liked it. A card-based game where you just had to collect points. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like amazing, but I'd play it again. Klax.
Klax hurts my brain.
I like it.
It's an abstract puzzle-ish type thing based on a Terry Pratchett book. And we like Terry Pratchett. And the game was super scary for me.
It's cool. You have to figure out how to flip things over so that you have the right pattern on the board. Room 25.
Not good with two.
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe good with more.
Railroad Inc.
This is a game that I am kind of falling in love with. I think we've played it the most. This is the game we've played the most since purchasing it from Essen.
Well, it's so easy to introduce to new people.
Yeah, and because we've been traveling a lot, we've been meeting lots of new people. We don't know how familiar they are with games. Anyone can play this game. It's a lot of fun and cute and fun and good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fugitive.
We bought Fugitive because Tim Fowers.
Yeah, we already knew we wanted that one.
And yeah, that's a game that we played on Tabletop Simulator for a while when we were long distance. And we bought it because it's good and it's fun and the art is nice and I like the expanded universe and I get to geek out with that and it's nice. Honshu is a game we bought.
Yeah, I like it also. Again, not the bestest with two, but we're going to play it with my fam at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good time.
It is quite exciting and I enjoyed Honshu. What's next?
Regular Azul.
Regular Azul.
Which we finally bought.
Yeah, have
you
guys?
We've been trying to buy it for ages.
Have you guys heard of this game?
Okay.
It's like kind of a big deal, I guess.
Arboretum.
Arboretum is also kind of a big deal.
It's an old big deal.
It's an old big deal that's been reprinted and is just gorgeous now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. They did a very good job with the redesign and it's just stunning. I like it so much. The game is so much fun and you spend so much time just agonizing over decisions to make, and I think that makes it a very good game.
Agreed. Those were our Essen experiences.
My gosh.
Also, we like made friends and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, some of the friends we made were the creators of a game called Bar Pig.
Yeah. They invited us to come and stay, so we did.
Yeah, so
thanks, Phil and Jono, for sponsoring our week in Amsterdam. it was great. It was a lot of good times.
Yeah.
Also, they've made a really cool game, and it's got a really cool additional part coming out.
Yes.
I think it's a standalone.
Yep, standalone.
Playing off the same idea.
Bar Pig After Hours. It was a party game, drinking game type thing where you have to just do ridiculous things in order to win or not lose. And I think in a party setting it would be quite hilarious.
Yeah, that was a good time. Also, they helped me celebrate my birthday. Thanks, Yay! Guys.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I made great dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and
delightful bolognese.
Drank champagne from Champagne.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And ate cheese.
And also in Amsterdam, we took a slight detour to Haarlem, where there is a game cafe.
Mm-hmm. That
I totally remember the name of.
Because it's been so recent, because we're really good at continuously doing episodes of this podcast.
Definitely wrote it down.
Mm-hmm. Great. But the main thing that we remembered about this was...
The game rating system. They rated everything by Catan. So you had a shelf that was like the same level of hardness as Catan, and then 1.5 Catans, and 2 Catans, and then 0.5 Catans. It was cool.
Yeah, I think...
I haven't seen that before.
I think... Catan times 3 was stuff like Caverna and stuff like that. Yeah, it was clever. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So so that's us. We're sitting here out in nature in the middle of Portugal. They've just had a wildfire last year, so we've been clearing the land here and helping the goats have some grazing spots.
Yeah. We're in Salabor da Velha.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. As you can tell, there is not very much in terms of background noise, because we're just sitting out in a field in the sunshine in the middle of winter, and it's just gorgeous. It's nice. Yeah. What's our deal?
We like answer people's questions about games and what to play next.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can send us a question to peopleseekmeeple@gmail.com or to our subreddit r/peopleseekmeeple.
Or you can find us on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've done a very good job of maintaining.
Totally.
Yeah. Our last post was maybe in... Yeah, no, probably.
Our last post was our last episode. That's legit. That is fine.
We've had so many opportunities, though. Like, we were at Essen. Like, we could have just like taken a photo and put it on our Facebook page and be like, hey,
we just didn't put it on the People Seek Meeple.
Look at how legit we are. No.
Yeah.
No.
We did. You know what we forgot to mention?
What did we forget to mention?
While in Portugal, we went to the Museum of Azulejos.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did. And that museum is all about the tiles that are in the game Azul. So we used our newly purchased copy of Azul and played a game of Azul in a museum about Azulejos, which was very exciting for me. And I've been wanting to do that for so long. We went to Isle of Skye and we didn't get to play Isle of Skye, and it was very sad. And we went through Birmingham, which I was fine with spending as little time in Birmingham as possible. And we went past Lancaster, and that was another one.
Brussels? And,
yeah, we were in Brussels, and we did not play the game about the house.
So this was a dream come true.
It really was.
And you can see pictures on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, you can. How exciting. Have we done a good job of describing what we do?
I digress. And we'll add that we would love to have a question from you. It can be anything you want. If you've listened to the show at all, you know the kinds of questions we normally answer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're happy to branch out a little bit as well. So anything that you need a recommendation or gift for somebody, or a tricky member of your game night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even if you've got some kind of situation that you don't know how to solve, maybe we can help out with that as well. Maybe we can be Agony Aunt.
Whoa.
But for board games.
Wow.
Maybe.
Basically, that's what we are.
Yeah, great.
We're Ask Annie. For board games. Anyways.
So, this first question comes from Reddit user Elongated Muffin. So, first of all, great name, killing it. Does anybody have a recommendation for a game similar to Love Letter, but best suited for two players? By similar to Love Letter, I mean I'm specifically looking for a deduction card game that is quick and travel-friendly. I've been looking at Hive Pocket for this purpose, but I would also like a second option that's not quite as thinky.
We're even going to give you a third option.
Yeah.
Hive is a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend Fugitive by Tim Fowers from Tim Fowers Games. It's an asymmetrical two-player game where one of you is a fugitive and one is a marshal trying to catch the fugitive. The game is played by the fugitive placing cards down. Each card has a number and a number of footsteps on it, and those are his hideouts. You can go up to three numbers, or you can use the footsteps on the other cards to get you further than that. So if the last card you played was a five, you could play a six, seven, or eight. But if all you had in your hand was a nine, you could use another card with a footstep on it to help you get to that nine. The footsteps are called sprints, and you can play a sprint even when you don't need one to try to throw the marshal off your trail.
And the job of the marshal is to try and figure out every single one of the hideouts, or just numbers that the fugitive has put down, and that is just pure deduction. You are drawing cards out of the same pile, so you know where they are definitely not, and have to try and figure out whereabouts they are. For the fugitive, it's a game of, like, hide and seek, basically, and you're trying to make the marshal double guess whereabouts they are going. The game fits in a nice little small box. You could probably even make it a bit smaller if you didn't love the box, which you should, because it's a little briefcase and it's so cute. Suitcase.
Briefcase.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, that's what you put the money in.
Yes.
There's a fun mechanism. If the fugitive gets to number 42, which is the end goal, before the marshal has guessed 19 or higher. 29 or higher. The marshal gets to do a manhunt, which means that the marshal will get to guess every hideout, and the fugitive, one at a time, the fugitive will have to say whether they're right or wrong, but as soon as you get one wrong, then that's game over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a pretty fun end game mechanism.
Yeah, can be pretty intense. I would like to recommend a game called Fox in the Forest by Joshua Bruegel. And published by Foxtrot Games. And this is a little two-player trick-taking game. It's not specifically a deduction game, but if you've played enough trick-taking games, you can kind of play it as a deduction game, kind of, sort of. Help me out.
Yeah, there's all the odd-numbered cards have special abilities. And there's three suits in the game.
Three suits and 13 numbers per suit?
Yeah.
Yes.
So knowing that, you can see where the deduction comes mm-hmm. in, where you're thinking, well, they could either do that or that. I've got this card, so they can't possibly do this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It plays really, really well. And two-player trick-taking games are definitely not common.
Yeah.
The thing that I really enjoyed was the fact that you aren't trying to get all of the tricks, where it kind of goes in a curve. The lower you have, like, the lower tricks you have, the more points you get. If you get into the mid-range, then you get fewer points, and then when you get into the high end of it, there's a certain point where you just get nothing. So you're trying to play in a smart kind of way, where you're not stuck into taking, like, a whole bunch of cards at the end that do bad things.
Yeah.
It's good. And I would recommend it. And I just did recommend it.
That's Fox
so
in the Forest.
So there we go. Fox in the Forest. Yeah.
And for our second and final question, which comes from Reddit user Dwarf, which is just kind of fun to say. Says, hey there. I've gotten into the habit of buying games for my parents for Christmas. I'd gotten them Catan, Pandemic, things like that before. They enjoyed them pretty well, but last year I got them Codenames, and they enjoyed the lateral thought stuff. They play all the time now, so I'm looking for games that are similar, but maybe a touch more complicated? Thanks!
Boy, have we got games for you.
Oh, yes.
immediately I thought Trap Words, which is a new release published by Czech Games Edition, designed by Jan Brzezina, Martin
Hrablek, there we go,
and Michael Pozorak.
There we go.
Although there's a little thing over the Z, so it might be said differently.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sorry, Michael. Anyway, you three...
Or Mikhail.
Or Mikhail. You three lovely geniuses have created this game, this word game, a little bit like Taboo, except that the other team is telling you what words you cannot say. And as an extra kicker, they don't tell you what those words are. So I maybe need to get my team to guess sandwich, and the other team is going to write a list of 3 or 4 or 5, depending on how far you've been, words that you can't say. They might write bread. They might write deli meats. They probably couldn't. That's 2 words. Mm-hmm, but anyway, they're going to write some stuff. And then you have to get your team to guess your word in a minute, but the other team is going to be watching for you to say those words. So there's a lot of second guessing, like, oh, did they write bread? I shouldn't say bread. But then the other team might have thought, well, he's not going to say bread anyway, because that's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even write bread, and you could have said it all along. If you get your team to guess it, you move one step closer to the monster.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody fails, the monster moves one step closer to us.
Yes.
And as you move along, there are more and more challenges. So there's traps that you can fall into, and the traps, like, do different things to you. Like, one of them is underwater, and you have to give all of your clues in one breath. And yeah, they just do kind of fun things like that. And then when you're versing the monster, there's different monsters that you can fight at the end, and each monster does something different as well. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in terms of word games, it's one of the two best possible suggestions.
Right, and the other one is...
And the other one is a wonderful little game called Decrypto, which we may have talked about before on this show.
Because we loved it.
Because we played it in Wales, and we were so pleasantly surprised by just how crazy this game is. It's just so delightful. And I'm realizing now that this question was, like, supposed to be in time for Christmas, so this is going to be, like, a next year Christmas present for your parents.
Yeah, we originally did record this before Christmas, but then we lost a cable and failed to be able to sync anything, and then we couldn't... It was just a disaster, so
yes.
We're all sorted now.
In fact, 3/4 of this podcast were recorded in Portugal.
Yeah.
And then the final quarter is being recorded on literally the other side of the continent in Greece.
Yeah.
That's
exciting.
We'll get better at this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Christmas was a write-off.
Anyway, Decrypto is published by Asmodee and designed by Thomas Day. Oh, geez. Good job, Thomas. And Decrypto is a game in which you have four, or you work in teams, again, similar to Trap Words and Code Names, and your team has 4 secret words, and...
There's sort of like a couple of goals. First of all, you're going to get a 3-digit code, and each word corresponds to a number. So you might have 314, and you need to give your team 3 words or phrases or clues that correspond to those words in that order. So they need to figure out what order your words are in.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary part of the game is trying to figure out what the other team's words are based on the clues that they're giving their team members.
And the other team is also trying to guess the order, but they don't know what the words are. So as the game goes on and you give more and more clues, the other team has more of an idea what your words might possibly be. And it's not super likely that they're going to know what the words are. But as they get given more and more clues, yeah. So on one hand, you are trying to make it so your team knows what you're talking about. On the other hand, you don't want the other team to know what you're talking about. So you can be obvious with the clues, but that's going to give the other team the advantage, or you can be really obscure with your clues, and your team might not know what you're talking about and put you at a disadvantage as well. It's one of those nice little middle groundy type of games that is it's just a hoot. It's a good time.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, we're gonna get that one.
I would love to play it again.
Yes.
Anyone in Greece?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, that'll do it for us. Quick shout out to my dad who joined us in Croatia for Christmas. That was very exciting. To all of you out there, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Happy Epiphany, which is January 5th or 6th. That's a big deal in some place. And yeah. Do you guys know that, like, in Europe, it's just a party for the whole month?
It really is.
The whole of December. They start on the 1st, and nothing comes down to, like, January 7th. And it's just every night there's a party. It was very exciting.
See you all in 6 months.
Yeah. We'll see some of you anyway. Have a great day.
Bye.